So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
There's nothing like a good old happy hour on a Tuesday, and that's what we're doing today on Trending. If you've never joined us on a Monday, every Monday here on Trending, we have our weekly happy hour, talking about everything related to happiness, working toward that virtue of joy. And since I wasn't with you live yesterday for Monday, Labor Day, happy Labor Day, belated Labor Day, I wanted to do a happy hour Tuesday. Not quite as in-depth of a happy hour as we usually do, but all themes that relate to happiness in subtle ways. Today, joining me in just a little bit will be Father Tim Grumbach. He is the new chaplain at Bishop Alemany School in the Diocese of Los Angeles. And we're going to dive into two topics. One, how the Chinese government is working to put a ban on video games. That is, minors can only play a particular online video games for 3 hours per week. What do you think? Good? Bad? Should the government do this? Should parents? We'll discuss this in light of parents' rights, but also from the perspective of what boundaries maybe do need to be given to kids or to ourselves with various addictive behaviors, which video gaming is known to be one. We'll also dive into the topic of how the songwriter and singer Pink has actually talked recently about a teenager, a 13-year-old, who on social media, YouTube, Instagram, she believes is being exploited by her parents. It's a great question that has made me ponder, how can we exploit our own children on social media? Trying to get likes, sharing too many photos, using our kid for the likes and the comments. We'll also kick off today our series, continuing our virtue series. This week is the cardinal virtue of justice. Today we'll discuss what justice is as we unpack this throughout the week to grow in this great virtue. Last week on the show, I mentioned that we are going to challenge and invite everyone for a 30-day marriage challenge. If you missed the episode, Jim O'Day, the executive director of Integrity Restored, joined me as we discussed this 30-day marriage challenge and three things you can do over the course of the next month to grow your marriage, grow in communication, grow in your faith life. And the three things had to do with Lectio Divina each morning together, taking a 1 mile walk, and then having a conversation at the end of the day about your high and low points that day. If you want to hear more in detail, we'll post a link now on social media as well as in the show notes for today's show. But my husband and I started doing this yesterday. Now, today, lo and behold, we're having to replace that walk because it's dumping rain here in the Midwest. But we're going to do a joint workout and talk instead of our daily walk, I guess. We'll do that later on this evening. But I thought that this challenge was a really good challenge. And I've actually found it beneficial for us already. I think we're on day two or three today. I actually think this is day three. Yeah, day three. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's why I have found it beneficial. Well, first of all, it requires that we're being intentional with our time and that we've agreed both mutually. Remember, that's important that your spouse agrees and wants to do it, to do this. So it makes us committed to the conversation. For example, the highs and lows conversation, taking 15 minutes each day to talk about each of our high points and low points, has been extremely beneficial. And I'll just tell you the fruit from yesterday. One of the low points that my husband shared had to do with the challenge of a baby at Mass and how he's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to pay attention at Mass again the way I used to be able to for a really long time to come. And it hit me today, and it was kind of like a low point because that's hard. It's hard to go to Mass and not be able to pay attention the way you used to be able to pay attention. And so it gave us the opportunity to make some resolutions, work on new ways to tag team the baby during Mass so that one of us or either of us can be more present than we have been And one of the things I can also share that we were talking about is he said, I think I'm going to try to make sure that I start going at least one time during the week to daily mass by myself. He said the reason for that is so that he can better meditate upon the mass. Otherwise, he recognized that for him, his spiritual life was going to be at a point of struggling more. So if he wasn't able to be more present and predisposed to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. So that was one thing that we've done. Maybe you guys have found things in your marriage that have helped you with navigating the inability to pay attention like you used to in Mass. That was, I think, one of the really helpful moments I know for us. And I also had the opportunity to talk about phone moderation, and I think that every couple struggles ups and downs with phone moderation, how it impacts a relationship, how it impacts communication with one another, our proper communication, lack of communication, what things are appropriate via text or not a text. There's so many things that come up when it comes to cell phone use within marriage. And so it also allowed us the opportunity to tackle and work on some phone moderation so that there's not so many, I think, frustrating moments on either side surrounding expectations or criticism. And just kind of growing in how we use our phones overall. It can be so addictive. And I noticed that I'll start to develop a really great habit with my phone. And then in another area, I'll start to develop a bad habit with my phone or filling that space with what I did before. So those were kind of some of our highs and low benefits from yesterday, in addition to just loving the walking and really enjoying the time of prayer, Lectio Divina, extra time with scripture. So I'd love to hear from you. I hope you're doing the marriage challenge. If you want to know how to do it, we posted a link on social media to that podcast, one of my favorite shows we've ever done, as well as I posted on Instagram. You can follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, where you can see what to do during the marriage challenge. It's really easy. Three simple things. You and your spouse have to plan and do it for 30 days. You're listening to Trending with Timmerie here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now is my dear friend, Father Tim Grumbach, regular guest here on Trending. He is the new chaplain at Bishop Alemany High School in the Diocese of Los Angeles, and we're going to dive into not just Pink's comments about exploiting kids on social media and how parents have been involved in this, but also we're going to discuss China's new announcement that they are now limiting online video game use to just 3 hours per week for teenagers. If you've not heard the news, and this is actually fascinating because last week, if you listened, Reggie Littlejohn from Women's Rights Without Frontiers joined me here on Trending, and she and her organization work predominantly in China. And we talked about the surveillance state in China, the social credit system that occurs, as well as how babies are being saved in face of the three child policy there in China. You can listen to that show. We'll post a link to it in the show notes as well as on social media if you didn't get to hear that. But here's what's fascinating. China basically controls its people and gives them credits and lack of credit based on what they perceive as good or bad behavior. Could have everything to do with having quote unquote too many children, because it doesn't follow their three child policy, to the fact that you posted something online that they disagree with, you bought something or researched something online that went against the Chinese Communist Party ideology. And this actually punishes people because it's linked to their bank accounts and much more. But here's the next element of tyranny from China. They, that is China's Natural Press and Publication Administration, has initiated a new rule that now you can only spend 1 hour on Friday, 1 hour on Saturday, and 1 hour on Sunday if you're a minor playing online video games. And that hour is only allotted from 8 to 9 p.m. This is fascinating to discuss in light of everything from parenting to government control and why there is video game addiction to begin with, because that's China's goal. To get rid of the problem surrounding video game addiction there in China. So joining me now to discuss this is Father Tim Grumbach from Bishop Alemany High School in the Diocese of Los Angeles. What are your thoughts, Father Tim?
Oh, thanks so much, Timmy, for having me back on. But yeah, I was almost conflicted by this report about limiting the hours of video gaming for young people over in China, because I thought, Well, I think they're onto something, that maybe fewer hours of video gaming would be healthier for them. But as we were saying, you know, our real conflict with this, though, is that the government's role? Is that the government's decision to make? And we would both say, no, that's not for the government to make, but it is for the families. And, you know, some of my dear friends who have young children are doing everything they can to keep the children from, you know, having a phone in their hand from the youngest age. And, you know, video games, I grew up playing video games, you know, video games were a coping mechanism for me at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, I played maybe way too many video games when I was trying to figure out, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What am I allowed to do? And then when I found out that, you know, there's still a way to do ministry. If people can't come to the church can go to them. And so while exploring that, you know, I video games were an important part of me growing up. But my parents had to find ways to limit that so that I wasn't up until 3 or 4 a.m. playing video games. You know, my little brother may have found ways to do that, but now he's involved with the drones in the army, you know, so he gets to kind of play video games and surveillance in that sense still. But it really came down to our parents helping us having a proper relationship with those video games. And, you know, we may have made some bad decisions in playing too much, of being a little bit too obsessed with that. But it wasn't the government's decision that helped us become, you know, relatively healthy young adults. And then to, you know, for my brothers and my sister to have families of their own, and for me to have my spiritual families, that it came down to, you know, having a healthy family and a healthy dynamic of family with our parents who set the rules.
It was interesting. So, Father Tim, growing up, we were not allowed to play video games. Now, I remember on two occasions, at one point, I think I had been playing, and I'm not getting into the weeds on Harry Potter today, but I had been playing like a Harry Potter computer game, and I never recall being so angry. I think I eventually quit. I don't think I ever finished. And the reason for quitting was because I was getting angry and it wasn't healthy. And then I remember my brother had a round of, I don't remember what video game it was, some Disney movie, I don't remember what it was, but he was playing a game, I think it was also on the computer, and his anger was so intense. And both of these instances are really the only times I can remember like there being an anger issue with us kids growing up, and it both circumstances related to some sort of game, right? In this case on the computer, and the only ones that ever really entered into our house, other than I think we played like Wii Sports as a family for a short period of time, but that was as a family and it was very different. No one was hitting each other over the head with a tennis racket, luckily. But so here's where I think it's fascinating, because as you mentioned, you know, video games are addictive, and it's challenging because it really is the parent's role to help teach minors whose prefrontal cortex of their brain isn't fully developed, so they can't properly reason and self-regulate video games, how to regulate the use of video games. So maybe you're listening now and you have found a way to moderate video games within your home. I would love to hear from you. For our house, it was we just didn't play them for a number of reasons, but maybe you found something else, especially with young boys. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Father Tim, do you remember any of the ways that your parents helped to balance the proper use and quantity of time with video games?
Well, the first thing I'm thinking of, it's maybe a little bit of a grounding from video games when it turned into a fight between my little brother and I, and someone's sandal may have been thrown through a window. So let's just say that I was quick in ducking, and my little brother, strong arm though he may have had, was not quick enough to hit me with the sandal.
You just ratted him out bad.
Yeah. Well, we've forgiven each other. We've grown past it, I hope. So there were, you know, punishments that had to be doled out when it came to that. That time there were bedtimes that we had to keep to, but I know, you know my little brother got a little bit more into video games than I did when video games were starting to become more of a community sort of thing. You know, it was some of the best times my little brother and I had together growing up were watching each other, rooting each other on, playing video games. You know, instead of watching movies, I would just watch him play video games, and it was really a bonding thing for us. And so it has the capability of being something good and something that builds that kind of bond. And, you know, we did have to get outside and enjoy nature a little bit from time to time. But I could also see kind of some of the more negative aspects of that. And so that was some of the ways that my parents dealt with it, was just kind of setting hours when we could play and hours when it was time to get our rest that we needed. And that gets a little bit harder as young people are, you know, getting less and less sleep, and as video games are becoming more of a community thing. And so the kids who are dealing with this, you know, more addictive nature of video games have it much harder than I had it and my little brother had it, because now it's about community, and it's community that can be done well. You know, I'm seeing some Catholics who are in the video gaming world who are evangelizing through their Twitch streams. And it's amazing to see them do it so in a healthy and normal way. But the danger that video games present now of being addictive in that sense of, you know, kind of fighting for a community that may not be all that real or all that healthy. And it's, you know, international. And so you can be up until 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning here in the States playing games with somebody on the other side of the world. And it's, you know, perfectly normal time of the day for them.
This is fascinating to me. I really think about it, because video games have become social. I do know a lot of people actually do enjoy just sitting back and watching someone else play a video game. Or my husband would sit back and watch in college his roommates play video games, and he enjoyed it as if he was watching a movie. And that's what's fascinating, because video games today have really come a long way. They're so story-centered. In fact, stories are written just for video games today, but it's active participation in the story, which can be really neat. But the problem is that for a lot of people, and I'm not saying this is everyone, it has formed an addiction. And some people might say, hey, you know, hold the brakes there. How are you saying this is an addiction? Well, an addiction is really anything that interrupts your life in a negative way. But in this case, when we're talking about an addiction, kids, and should I add even adults, are addicted to video games and the dopamine releases that occur from the win and the need to chase that dopamine rush. Also the colors on the screen and prolonged engagement in front of the screen. But we can also be addicted to the time spent communicating with others via headset, as if you're talking on the phone with a friend while playing the video game. You know, this means and desire for connection, just like there's a desire for connection via social media, but it can be abused then as well. I think also of Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who was on the show here last week, and he wrote a book titled Assassination Generation, Video Games, Aggression, and the Psychology of Killing. And he talks a lot about the negative impact of video games. And I highly recommend the book for any parent to just be aware of the connection, what's happening in the brain and chemically, and problems with aggression. Because we do have a problem with aggression, especially among boys today. And not just young boys, not just high school age boys, but actually adult men, where this aggression isn't properly balanced because of how it was utilized in a video game. And so some initial things, you know, I just remember from growing up, and you mentioned as well, Father Tim, you know, having, I think, as parents, balance, if you're going to have video games in your house, balance of quantity of time spent outside. Also, you know, knowing how to play a sport, playing an instrument, you know, all of these things that level out, I would say in particular, a young boy's soul, that you can't just have video games, you can't just have intense sports, you need to have a well-balanced human being, where these multiple dimensions, I think, speak to multiple parts of the soul.
Right, and the proper way of kind of expelling that aggression, that's a natural part of a young man's heart, is, you know, and that's a really important fatherly role, is to show a young man how to be aggressive, but in a healthy way. And if they're only learning those things from video games, you know, my parents wouldn't allow Mortal Kombat in our house, at least at first. And because that was, you know, that was known as the bloodiest, most violent game. And so obviously, you know, my little brother and I were like drawn to that. We want to play this game. But praise God that, you know, that mom and dad kept that out of our house and said, no, that has no place in here. And now I've, you know, seen some of the video of what Mortal Kombat has become. And it's terrifying what young people are able to take into their system through a video game, and could argue like, oh, well, that doesn't, you know, really affect. I'm not going to go out and do that kind of stuff. But just the desensitization that happens. And that's why I said at the beginning.
But people are doing stuff like that. I think of Grand Theft Auto and violent things occurring to other people and destruction of property. There are actually a lot of problems where people actually are living out and doing what they're doing in video games, because they're building perpetual habits of this is how they function. And so then when they're in real life, which they're not having enough real life interaction, or they've created a habit of doing so many repetitive movements or actions psychologically in a video game, it's influenced their behavior as well.
Right. And, you know, and I think the greatest danger is, though, while it does influence behavior, I think more often than people are willing to admit, it influences a desensitization of seeing these things happen on the screen. And this is where I'm learning how to, channel my aggression. And then I see, you know, these kinds of things happening in the world. I'm like, oh, that's just like the video game. And I don't think we're talking about it enough, the way that it affects one's heart and the ability for one's heart to be broken by seeing this kind of violence in the real world.
It's a very important point. We actually have a phone call coming in. Flavio from Oakland's calling about his 14-year-old and balancing how he plays video games. Flavio, welcome to Trending. What's your question?
Hi, my question is this. My son plays video games. We have been allowing him for ever since he's a little kid, but very, very, like a half an hour a day, 45 minutes a day as he gets older. He's 14 years old now, and he's a freshman at high school. And obviously, most of his friends play daily for hours, and we just allow him to play on the weekends. Weekends meaning Saturday and Sunday, because sometimes he wants to play this Friday. And am I doing wrong for just restricting his gaming so long? Am I taking him away from his socializing with his friends? I'm in that fence right now where I don't know if I'm continue being inflexible and just letting him play on the weekends or allowing him more freedom and giving him more time, even though I'm more concerned about his schooling than anything else.
Flavio, this is a great question. How much to moderate your son's playing video games? 14 years old. I think that you're doing a great job, Dad, and I really respect that, having boundaries with your kid. You're saying 30 to 45 minutes a day, really just on the weekends. You know, and that you do mention, you know, he maybe wants to play more because it has become a social thing with friends. But here's the problem. If the only means of socializing is via video game, that's problematic. If he's getting that 30, 45 minutes a day on the weekends of video games, great. He has that ability to make connections, if that's one of the ways he makes connections, and then turn that into face-to-face contact and other types of communication. You know, I think that this is a really great question, and I think that towing the line is important. And don't feel like your kid only has this means of socializing with friends. I think that that's sometimes the false dilemma that's created, is people think, well, if my kid doesn't get to play more video games each day, they're going to lose on a social life. But that's actually not an actual dilemma. That means of engaging in video games really should just be one means of connection, not the means of connection. Father Tim, do you have a thought here?
Yeah, I don't think that a young man like that will grow up and be ultimately bitter about not being able to play more video games during the day. I think a lot of people will grow up out of this kind of phase of video games and say, I'm glad that my parents restricted that. You know, it might be hard for him to, you know, a 14-year-old to see from that perspective now. But to get to, you know, to become a young adult and have more responsibilities and authority in their life, and to say, you know, I'm really glad that I was encouraged by my parents, even though it felt like restriction at the time or constraint. I was encouraged to get out and to do more, to socialize and to find better ways of expressing aggression and maturing in that sense. So my hope is that, you know, it won't be a question of, gosh, I wish I had played more video games when I was younger, but rather I'm glad that I was able to get out and do more than just that.
Amen. Great work, Dad. Really great work. I appreciate parents who are willing to really draw the line, help teach moderation with kids. And here's the reality. We are happier the more virtuous we are, and parents help in teaching and developing that virtue with kids. And so I want to encourage you to continue to implement that moderation. And maybe you or your kid aren't struggling with video games, but this did make me think, what do I need to work on practicing better moderation with? And how can I give this virtue of moderation to my kids? We'll be back with our virtue series on justice and with Father Tim, what Pink said about exploitation. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
join the conversation today. We've been talking about video gaming, finding a balance in video gaming, how to moderate that within your home. If you have a question or would like to share a way you've balanced that in your home, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Joining me now is Father Tim Grumbach, the chaplain at Bishop Alemany School in the Diocese of Los Angeles. Before we dive into the singer-songwriter Pink commenting about the exploitation of children on social media by parents, which I think is fascinating, I want to come to another question that's come in about video gaming. Monica from Long Beach has a question about moderating kids' behavior with video gaming. Monica, what's your question?
Hi, thanks for having me on. Hello, Father. My question is, is there any evidence to support that it does it make a difference if there's a friend, an in-person friend, like your son has a friend over, my 15-year-old, for example, and they're video gaming for, 3 hours. I don't like him video gaming alone. But when he has like a best friend over, a couple friends over, I feel like it's more social and he less gets like stuck in that zombie zone phase, it's more interactive because you have friends, physical friends sitting on the couch with you. Is there any evidence of that? Or do you think it's all the same?
Yeah, I would say I don't know much about any research or evidence done for that, but I would say just from personal experience, like I mentioned, some of the greatest bonding experiences I had with my little brother were, we would be playing video games for a couple hours at a time, maybe even more, I must admit. But that it is something that can happen in person and bring about a friendship and camaraderie. And especially when there are some video games which are multiplayer and they kind of set you up on these adventures where you have to work together. We even have it's an older video game system. We have like an N64 or something like that in the back of the campus ministry building here. And it's been just sitting there, and it has Super Smash Brothers in it. I'm like, I need to set up some Smash Brothers tournaments here and just kind of invite the students in for a little bit at a time where they can play these video games together. And that's part of our vision for campus ministry is that, yeah, we want the kids praying. We want them in the chapel, but we also want to give them a space where they can, build up that friendship playing these games together. And so I would say that it's very similar to any other kind of game that you would be playing in a home together. And that I think it is much better that it's done in person with other people around.
And we've seen plenty of research with regard to face-to-face communication versus social interaction online. And the better types of communication is always done when it's done in person. And the same could be said when people are socially video gaming, either in person or online. Because the difference is when you're playing face-to-face or side-by-side, you can watch the other person's social cues. You remember, body language is more than 80% of all communication. You can actually see a person's body language. I mean, something as simple, and this may sound silly, but like seeing like someone's hungry, someone's getting too angry, too heated, and being able to watch out for each other as friends in the communication and the fun of playing the video game. I also think it's easier to break away from video gaming when you're in person to take a break and have other things that you do within the context of the friendship. The problem is that a lot of people are defaulting to only having their friendships being online. I mean, a lot of kids won't even talk to each other at school today, but they will have conversations via video game online. Mm-hmm. And so I think that gives us kind of clear guidance for emphasizing more so in-person video gaming with that proper moderation of how much time is spent.